This is a moment where all leaders have a responsibility to speak and act with moral clarity.
That was Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, speaking after the horrible incident at the Trump rally. And he really put the focus on this victim, Corey Comparator, who was shielding his family, a firefighter shielding his family who died just trying to exercise his right of supporting a presidential candidate. Debbie Dingell, U.S. Congresswoman out of Ann Arbor, joining us now. And Debbie, I wish we weren't looking for reaction from you for this.
Good morning to both of you, and I wish it's something that I've been talking about for a long time. As you well know, what happened this weekend is absolutely horrifying, unacceptable, and we have to lower the tone in this country. The lawlessness, the hate, the rhetoric has to stop on all sides. We all. I don't want any finger-pointing. I just want the country to take a deep breath. Remember, we are Americans. Forget this red and this blue stuff. And too many people. It just is not to stop.
Congresswoman, what did you think about the Secret Service and the security around the former president? And it seems like some kind of failure happened as far as, you know, making sure that the rooftops around that area were secured.
Lloyd, I'm going to be really clear, and I'm going to tell you right now more than ever, we need to not speculate. We need facts. I want to have a firm understanding, and I think Republicans and Democrats and Republicans want to have an understanding of how it happened, how he did have access that close. But I have heard so many things that are not true, so many conspiracy theories. You know, you hear on one newscast that they think that he acted alone. The president speaks from the Oval Office and said they're still investigating as to whether he was working with anybody. You read that in the paper today. Right now, can we all just get facts? Can we understand who he was, what his motive is, why it happened? And that's something we need facts. But really right now, can this be a wake-up call to all of us? Can we really start treating each other with more respect and civility? We've got to dial down the tone in this country. We can disagree agreeably. We need to respect each other. We all have different perspectives. We can learn from each other. We need to dial it down.
Debbie, I thought that, I mean, listen, this is not unfamiliar ground to you. You've been calling for greater civility for a long time, and I commend you for that. Here's the problem, though. I mean, the president took down his ads, you know, which called Donald Trump a threat to democracy, an existential threat to this country. How do we turn down the temperature, and how do we accomplish it? And if someone steps outside what we think are the bounds of civility, who's going to be there to condemn them? Is your party going to do it with the folks on your side? Do you think Republicans are going to enforce it on theirs? Because they have it in the past.
So, Guy, I have, as you know, and I'm going to say it right now. We've got to be very careful right now. You know, people are saying, oh, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. I don't want to point the fingers at anybody because I think there's plenty of examples of everybody using language that we've got to rethink. I use the word we all need to recalibrate, and then someone told me maybe that's not a good word, but it is what we have to do. And I'm going to, if anybody in my party crosses the line, I'm not afraid to say that. But right now, people like you need to be leaders in making sure you're treating everybody equally, holding them accountable, trying to set platforms for civil discussions and ways to, like, talk about issues, but do it in a way where you're not threatening somebody.
Congresswoman Dingell, Governor Whitmer released a statement last night after the president spoke from the Oval, and she said, you know, if you see unproductive words designed to tear us apart, call them out, no matter who they are from. Hold each other accountable, even in our own party.
I agree with that. I wrote that in the New York Times. Look, I had my moments with Donald Trump. We all know that. I would never want anything to hurt him. And I also remember his kindness to me when John died.
Right.
We gotta dial this in. Yesterday morning, I gave a speech that there is a memorial each year on Jerry Ford's birthday, and a memorial service in the police lane, and I was the keynote speaker. I couldn't have thought of a better place to be on a horrific weekend like we experienced. And I talked about Jerry Ford, and I talked about what he stood for. He tried to bring people together to solve problems. And he respected everybody. He treated everybody civilly. He came from a time that he worked across the aisle, and he stepped into leadership at a time this country was deeply divided. I think we all have to call out. When someone says something that crosses the line, we need to call it out. But if I call out a Republican, someone's going to call that partisan. I'll call out a Democrat now. Will someone call out Republicans? How do we work together? And how do we just lower the tone, lower this vitriolic? And we've got to stop the bullying. Social media is contributing to all of this. It's not just,
right.
Yes, what happened to Donald Trump is terrible, but our kids are seeing bullying on social media every day. We don't know what the facts are. We don't know what's true. You know, can I tell you something? All of you may have read that the president on Friday called me Debbie Haley. He didn't call me Debbie Haley. It was Debbie Dingell. Haley Stevens was standing right next to me. Haley Stevens. It was referring to Debbie Haley. And that went out across the country and, quite frankly, across the world because I heard some people in London. You've got to get the facts.
Congresswoman, if you could, you know, speak to your constituents and the American people, what kind of message would you send to them in the aftermath of this event, particularly regarding the unity and importance of nonviolent political expression?
We are all Americans. United we stand, divided we fall. We learn from each other. Each of us has different life perspectives. We should listen to each other, learn from each other, find that common ground. And when we all work together, we can get to solutions that help everybody.
So you've said that we need to condemn those that cross the line, and I agree. And it needs to be a bipartisan effort, and everybody needs to work on their own barn first. But where is the line when they cross it? Is it unfair to point out that that there are members of the Biden family that have profited under his term? Is it unfair to talk about what many feel is a disastrous border policy? Is it unfair to call Donald Trump a felon? Where is the line?
So here's my problem this morning, Guy. We got to have a discussion about it. I mean, the fact of the matter is Hunter was convicted. I don't even want to talk about sex. I am just happy today that Donald Trump was not seriously harmed. But I also want to say to you all, we're seeing shooting every day in our streets. What happened Saturday night was horrific. And I got to tell you guys, you know, I've had my fair share of, you know, the people that threatened to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer, wanted to hang me. I've had men in front of my house with AK weapons. And I'm just not going to change. I probably shouldn't say this on the radio. You know me. I got to be me. And I want to be out there, and I want to be among people. But I find myself I won't stop. I did stay home yesterday. After the Jerry Ford thing, I just decided maybe it wasn't a day for me to be out and about by myself. But I can't stop. I got to be out there with people. But how do we can legitimately have a disagreement, legitimately point out facts, but we got to do it on both sides. And right now, you're paranoid to talk about it. I'm simply not going to point it out to anybody.
Well, I think
let's get through this week. I mean, we got to feel for what happened.
Well, I think it starts with the dehumanizing of the other person.
I was going to say it starts with the Republican National Convention. Let's see how this goes, how the speeches go. And if it starts on a nice foot, I think people will follow.
Yeah, but it also is it also has to be the so-called pundits that are sitting there on the anchor desk
who won't start their narrative and flip it, whatever they say at the convention.
Exactly, yeah. Or whoever the counterpoint is.
Right.
But, yeah, I think, you know, when you dehumanize somebody and you break them down or you compare them to Hitler or you call them a fascist, that's a good place to start. Curb all those words, at least for now, and try to have a reset in this country. Debbie, we always appreciate your thoughtfulness. And you're right. I'm glad you brought up Jerry Ford because I was thinking the same thing when I heard about that event, that he was the Sultan of Civility. And he would be leading in that way today. And And that's a good place to conclude it.
I want to read you the quote I concluded with Gary Ford.
And I think we just
I think we just
lost Debbie. Debbie, if you can hear me, we just lost you, but thanks for being with us. It is 6:45 on JR Morning. Angel's Place does amazing work giving peace of minds to the families of adult developmentally challenged people. We're going to learn more about the Angels and their place next on JR Morning. Time now for Ion Engineering, brought to you by Tejan Automotive Technologies, the formula for better mobility.
EV engineers do a lot of work to maximize the thermal efficiency of their vehicles. It's a key for maximizing range and performance in hybrids and EVs. To help that effort, TI Fluid Systems has opened an innovation center in Auburn Hills. It joins centers in four other countries. Hans Dielchens, the company's president and CEO, said the amount of lines or tubes carrying coolant or refrigerant liquids in a battery EV is 4 to 6 times that of an internal combustion car. He said optimal thermal management can make a range difference of up to 20%. It also improves battery life and recharging time. The center brings together designers, engineers, prototypers, and vehicle testers. That reduces prototyping time to as little as 2 weeks. It used to take 6 months. For SAE International, I'm Chris Klontz, and that's an Eye on Engineering.